This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Today we turn to the story of a very special and dear companion of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. His story is a little different because unlike some of the other names that we've covered in our previous sessions, he isn't one of the early to accept Islam. He's not one of those that accepted Islam before migration or even right after migration. He wasn't by the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the great expeditions and battles of Badr and Uhud. Neither was he with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Khandaq, in the Battle of the Trenches. Rather, he actually fought against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all of those battles. He was viewed among the Arab to be the most intelligent. His intelligence was unrivaled. He was a man of deep thought and someone that could study circumstances and very carefully predict what would come next. When the Quraysh were confused on a matter, they would turn to him. They would look towards him. They would gather together to discuss their issues on how to manage their affairs. And while they would get the opinions from the people that were in presence, Amr ibn As radiallahu an was one whose opinion was given much attention. However, he began to realize that in the struggle between the Muslims and the Quraysh, the people of Mecca, the Muslims were slowly gaining the upper hand. In the earlier days of Islam, everyone was one. The Muslims lived in the city of Mecca. Mecca was run by this group called the Quraysh. Now the Muslims had left and gone to Medina. The hope was the Quraysh would come in and just swipe them out. But they were unable to do so. In one case, they lost a battle. The second case, in Uhud, they almost won that battle. They probably gained victory from one perspective over the Muslims. And then in the Battle of the Trenches, they were unable to do anything because it was a stalemate. The Muslims actually gained victory there by avoiding battle, a full-blown battle altogether. And then there was a treaty signed between the Muslims and the Meccans, and a part of that treaty, the Muslims would be allowed to enter into Mecca Mukarramah for 3 days to perform their Umrah. When everyone saw these Muslims coming into Mecca Mukarramah, and the Quraysh had now signed a treaty, and these were the peoples that were their adversaries. These were the people they went to war with. These were the people they lost their leaders to. And now these people had so much strength and so much will, so much power, that the Quraysh can do nothing. They had to make an agreement with them. These Muslims walked around Mecca Mukarramah, where they were previously tortured, freely to perform their pilgrimage. This left a very heavy sign and an impact on the Quraysh. Amr ibn As began to reevaluate things. Now, what's going on here? I need to think about this. What he saw was the Muslims came into Mecca Mukarramah for pilgrimage, and he made an assessment that if they've come here for their pilgrimage, that means the Quraysh allowed them because the Quraysh understood they were not capable of stopping them. If the Quraysh was capable of stopping them, they would have put an army in front of them and never allowed them to step foot inside Mecca. They agreed to it on some political document because they knew that these people, they can come if they want. Which means Amr ibn As radiallahu an came to the conclusion that today they come for their pilgrimage, tomorrow they're going to come and conquer Mecca. It's just a matter of time. And he was right. Not too long after the Umratul Qadha, the Muslims conquered Mecca Mukarramah. And when they conquered Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear to all the Muslims, we will avoid battle. No one will die. There will be no bloodshed in Mecca. This is a holy city, a sanctuary. So they use this very genius tactic and they conquered. But prior to the conquest of Mecca, Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu sat with his companions. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi narrates the riwayah in his Musnad, a very long, beautiful narration. جمعت رجالا من قريش كانوا يرون مكاني ويسمعون مني. He gathered some people together who gave attention to what he had to say, and they respected him. فقلت لهم تعلمون والله إني لا أرى أمر محمد يعل الأمور علوا كبيرا. That I am telling you that the Prophet Muhammad, this Muhammad and his matter is not going to decrease, it's only going to increase, and they are going to overcome this entire region. They're going to take over everything. I have a plan. The plan is that his army could attack at any point. What we need to do is leave Mecca. He's only talking to a select group of people. Where will we go? We will cross over into Abyssinia. There is a king there. I know him. I've interacted with him in the past. He respects me. We'll go out there and we'll wait out this whole feud between the Quraysh and the Muslims. If the Quraysh win, we are their honorable leaders. We'll come back home. And if the Muslims win, then I have no desire to live in a city where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has dominance. I'd rather live in Abyssinia. I abandon my land. I abandon that whole area. I'm done with it. They said, sounds like a good idea. Let's do it. So they had their secretive plan now in plain. They gathered a bunch of gifts, gifts that were desirable to the Abyssinians. They made their way there. When they arrived in Abyssinia, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu says, فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّا لَعِنْدَهُ إِذْ جَاءَ عَمَرُ بْنُ أُمَيَّةَ الضَّمَرِيُّ وَكَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ قَدْ بَعَثَهُ إِلَيْهِ. When I arrived in Abyssinia to meet with this king of Abyssinia, Najashi, whose name was, when I arrived there, in front of me, I saw this other guy, Amr bin Umayyah. Amr bin Umayyah was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was actually sent to Abyssinia as an ambassador for a conversation. Amr bin As, he began to think that, you know what, this guy's right here. He's alone, he has no group with him. If we were to get a hold of him and kill him, we would gain rank in the Quraysh, and the Quraysh would view us in a very favorable manner. That this man killed an ambassador of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was a plan. I'm going to somehow get a hold of this guy, kill him, gain favor with the Quraysh, and this is going to help me out in the long run. فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَيْهِ أَيْ النَّجَاشِ. Amr bin As says, I entered into the palace of Najashi. فَسَجَدْتُ لَهُ كَمَا كُنْتُ أَصْنَعْ. I prostrated in front of him as I normally would. He was a king. When you entered upon a king, you would prostrate. Again, not in Islam. He's not a Muslim yet. These are pre-Islamic traditions. In Islam, we don't bow for anyone other than Allah. It's not possible that a Muslim bows in front of anyone other than Allah. Najashi saw him and said, Marhaban bi sadiqi. Glad tidings, welcoming to my dear friend. Come on in. Did you bring the gifts? Of course I did. I brought some gifts for you. فَقَدَّمْتُهُ إِلَيْهِ فَأَعْجَبَهُ وَاشْتَهَاهُ. He loved the gifts. Oh, these are amazing. Thank you so much. So Amr bin As then whispered in his ear, he said, dear king, that guy who just left your court right now, he is the ambassador of someone who I don't like. If you grant me permission, I would like to go and kill that guy. فَأَعْطِنِيهِ لِأَقْتُلَهُ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ أَصَابَ مِنْ أَشْرَافِنَا وَخِيَارِنَا. Because in the past, he's been a part of wars in which our leaders were killed. Let me go and kill him. قَالَ عَمَرَ. Amr says, when I said this to Najashi, when I asked him to give me that ambassador so I could kill him, فَغَضِبَ النَّجَاشِيُّ ثُمَّ مَدَّ يَدَهُ فَضَرَبَ بِهَا أَنْفَهُ ضَرْبَةً ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ كَسَرَ. That Najashi got so angry that he struck him. He hit him so hard that he thought he broke his nose. And in that moment, فَلَوْ إِنْشَقَّتْ لِي الْأَرْضُ لَدَخَلْتُ فِيهَا فَرَقًا مِنْ. If the earth were to rip open, I would have ran into it. فَرَقًا أَيْ خَوْفًا مِنْهُمْ. Because I was terrified of the anger in the look of Najashi in that moment. I would have ran away to any corner of the world if I could. And then I said to him, to Najashi, that I didn't realize my statement would upset you. Najashi responded back, are you asking me to hand over to you the ambassador of one who Jibreel alayhi salam gives revelation to?
The same Jibreel that came to Musa alayhi salam, الذي كان يأتي موسى. قال عمر أيها الملك أكذلك هو.
So Amr said, do you believe that he is a prophet? We've only viewed him as an enemy. We've only viewed him as an adversary. Muhammad was one of us. We fought wars against him. Do you actually believe that he is a messenger?
Najashi, he said, وَيْحَكَ يَا عَمَرْ أَطِعْنِي وَاتْبَعْهُ.
Amr, you're my buddy. Listen to me. Stop all this arrogance, this stubbornness. Follow me, obey me, and become one of his followers.
فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَظْهَرَنَّ عَلَى مَنْ خَالَفَهُ كَمَنْ ظَهَرَ مُوسَى عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَجُنُودِهِ.
He will overcome anyone that stands in front of him because he receives revelation and he is God's true messenger. Just as Moses overcame Fir'aun, Pharaoh, tomorrow you all will fall. Amr bin As, when he heard this, he said to Najashi, that if you are a Muslim, then why don't you extend your hand? I will give allegiance to you. In the meantime, I will be Muslim before I even make it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
فَبَسَطَ يَدَهُ وَبَايَعْتُهُ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ.
He accepted Islam. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu is now a Muslim. But he hasn't met the Prophet Muhammad yet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going to take that journey on shortly. Amr bin As said, I came back to my group of people and they said, hey, how did it go? Did you kill the guy? He said, no, that didn't work out.
وَقَدْ حَالَ رَأْيِي عَمَّا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ وَكَتَمْتُ أَصْحَابِ إِسْلَامِ.
I didn't tell them that I became Muslim. I just kept it quiet and just made an excuse and we left there. Amr bin As made an intention that now it's time for me to go and confront the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and accept Islam at his hands again. Like, I want to do the Shahada at his hands. So he began to head towards Medina. And on his way there, he's at one stop to spending the night resting up a little bit. And Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, who was also not a Muslim and becomes one of the greatest generals in Islamic history. Inshallah, one day we will cover his story in great detail. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu intercepts him. He asks, Khalid, what are you doing? Where are you off to?
So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he asked him, Aina, ila aina ya Aba Sulayman?
Oh Khalid, where are you going? So to that he said, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ إِسْتَقَامَ الْمَنْسِمِ. The path has become clear. We got to stop beating around the bush. Reality has become apparent.
إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَنَبِيٌّ. The man is truly a prophet.
أَذْهَبُ وَاللَّهِ أُسْلِمِ. I am going to become a Muslim. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu is shocked that his childhood friend had the thought that he had at the exact same time, and both of them were headed to the same destination and the chances of them crossing paths. He says to him, buddy, you aren't alone. We're doing this together. These were the men that fought against the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud. They were in charge of the cavalry. And today they were marching together to Medina Munawwara. When they arrived in Medina, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu's brother, Walid ibn al-Walid, he approached Khalid and said to him, buddy, hurry up, everyone in the masjid is waiting for you. The news of your arrival spread like fire. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu says, him, Amr bin As, and the third from them was Uthman ibn Talha. They approached the masjid together, and when they entered, everyone in the gathering was smiling at them, including Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to this scene as رَمَتْكُمْ مَكَّةُ بِأَفْلَاذِ أَكْبَابِهَا. Makkah Mukarramah gives you the best of its people. Akbab, as you know, liver, أَفْلَاذِهَا is a piece of it. رَمَتْ is to throw. رَمَتْكُمْ مَكَّةُ بِأَفْلَاذِ أَكْبَابِهَا. That Makkah Mukarramah is giving you its best. Today, everything changes. The three of them sit down in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, he says in his words that I sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I extended my hand. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his hand right into mine. And in that moment, I tugged a little, I pulled it a little, made that handshake a little firmer than normally it would be. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was a very intelligent man. So in that moment, he knew something was going on. He asked Amr, "What are you doing, buddy? What's going on here?" He said, "I'll become Muslim." "Ashtaritu ya Rasulullah, but I have a condition. I will only accept Islam under condition." And this is the beauty of Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu's story. He's intelligent. He's smart. He knows that when he becomes Muslim and walks around in the streets of Medina, everyone's going to be staring at him. This man is a criminal. He killed our people in the battlefield. This man waged war against us. This man marched towards the Prophet, peace be upon him, with intent of bringing harm to him. How could we ever forgive him? He knew that the day he became Muslim, he would be demonized and marginalized by people unless he sorted out one affair. Like a person who walks in the community after, you know, committing a crime, everyone looks at this person as a criminal, convict, ex-convict. But Islam is not like that. Islam is about forgiveness. Islam is about walking away from your wrongs if you are sincere in walking forward. Islam gives you a chance to start again. You can start again whenever you want to, as long as you're sincere and you're committed to being a better version of yourself, that you leave the sin that you're engaged in, that you have regret over what you did, and you're willing to commit to do whatever is in your capacity to never go back there again. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu is holding the Prophet's hand and he says, "I have a condition." The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Wabima tashtarit?" What's your condition? Now this in itself shows the wisdom of the Prophet, because if anyone was accepting Islam and they said, "I accept Islam on condition," most of us would say, "No conditions. Accept Islam unconditionally, otherwise out the door." But the Prophet was a smart person, wise, gentle, loving, kind, compassionate. He said to Amr ibn As, "What's your condition? Tell me. Let me hear it." Amr radiallahu anhu says, "I desire for Allah to forgive all of my sins. I've committed many wrongs. I did bad things. I hurt people. I marched against you, O Messenger of Allah. I have so much regret and remorse in my heart. I need Allah to forgive me." And this is the pinnacle of his life. That he did wrong, but that wrong didn't define him. It didn't make him into who he was. What made him into the great Sahabi was this moment, that he wanted to walk away from it all. And that's what makes a believer special, that a believer is honest. That you're real and you're willing to be real with yourself. That these are my flaws in life. This is where I mess up. But you're not stubborn and arrogant about it, because you can't be a Muslim with that stubbornness and that arrogance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, "أما علمت يا عمر أن الإسلام يهدم ما كان قبله والحج يهدم ما كان قبله والهجرة تهدم ما كان قبله." Amr, don't you know that when you become Muslim, your slate is wiped clean? You start all over again. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, in that moment, accepts Islam and gives his bay'ah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says that there were very few people that had the closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we had. We referring to him and Khalid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu and Amr bin As radiallahu anhu by his side. He would take advice from them. He would involve them in conversation. He was worried about being outcasted after becoming a Muslim. Rather, he experienced something very different. What he found was that the Prophet ﷺ loved him so much. He treated him special. He was just new into Islam. He was still early in his faith, but the Prophet, peace be upon him, when he met him, he would smile at him. He was happy with him. He included him. And this was the amazing thing about the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. I want you to remember this. In 23 years, the Prophet started with one follower, his wife Khadija, and 23 years later, he had over 140,000 people, 120,000 people with him. Without any marketing campaign, without any social media, the Prophet ﷺ did this by exposing humanity to his character. And mark my words, anyone that reads the Prophet's biography with an open mind will fall in love with him. Because he was such an amazing person. Why is it that Muslims are kind, loving, generous, truthful, honest? Why are they courageous? Why are they forward thinkers? Why do we believe in education? Why do we believe in contributing to humanity? The reason why we as Muslims do what we do is because we see the Prophet living that life, and therefore it's our goal now to live exactly like him. This is no religion of fraud. This is not a religion of swindling people. This is not a religion of cheating and lying. This religion is based off of the teachings of a man who was understood by all of Arabia, even his enemies and foes, as As-Sadiq al-Amin. The man is truthful. Say whatever you want. The man is trustworthy. He never cheats another person. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu is overwhelmed by this. In one narration, this is what the companions, they say, that when you met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that moment, the Prophet would treat you with so much attention and love that you would feel as if you were the center of the universe. He felt so much love from the Prophet. He felt so welcomed and so special. He just became Muslim. Keep this in mind. Okay, 8th year after Hijrah, he becomes Muslim. Early 8th year. He becomes Muslim, and now one day he's sitting with the Prophet, and he's so overwhelmed by the Prophet's attention and love that he took the courage and asked the Prophet publicly, who is the most beloved to you on the face of this earth? And he actually thought it was going to be his name. He thought it was going to be him. But because it was publicly asked and people were listening, the Prophet ﷺ responded back by saying, Aisha, thumma man abuha. Aisha is the most beloved to me, my wife. That's the truth. And then after that, he said, her father, Abu Bakr, he is most beloved to me. And then he kept asking, and in one narration, Amr ibn As said, the Prophet started naming so many companions that I thought my name was not going to be on that list. Because that was a fact-searching mission. Versus what he experienced, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him true love. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was trusted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he saw people with a particular skill set, he would trust them, empower them, leadership skills, true leadership. One time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him. This was in the battle of Dhat al-Salasin. He appointed him leader over the army. And in that army were people like Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Because he was the brains. He was the genius in the battlefield. One time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, get your belongings ready and come and meet me. He said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my armor and with my clothing. فَأَتَيْتُهُ وَهُوَ يَتَوَضَّى. In that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing his wudu. The Prophet looked up at me. And then he said, I will be sending you out with an army. You will gain victory and also acquire a good amount of spoils of war. And I hope that the spoils of war will bring blessings to you. It will be good for you, a source of khayr for you, salihah. Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu, he says, مَا أَسْلَمْتُ مِنْ أَجْلِ الْمَالِ وَلَكِنِّي أَسْلَمْتُ رَغْبَةً فِي الْإِسْلَامِ وَلَا أَنْ أَكُونَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. I didn't become Muslim for wealth. I don't care for the spoils of war. I became Muslim to be with you, O Messenger of Allah. I became Muslim because of my desire and love for Islam. How the story changes. So sincere. So focused. He spends the remainder of his life trying to make up for what he missed out on in those earlier days. And this is what you'll see with people who accept Islam. Those who accept Islam later in life, they try to maximize what they have today because they realize that they are a little behind from those that have been Islam for a few years. Or they're not too proud of their yesterday. It's their secret between them and their Allah, what happened yesterday. They want to make up. They see the value in it. You sit with people who accept Islam and they're so particular and so punctual. They're able to pray Salah more punctually than many people that are born Muslims pray Salah. You know, I want to say something, but I'm not sure if I should say it. There is a brother among us right now, sitting in this gathering, who accepted Islam not too long ago. And when I met this person, I remember he came with me to the masjid and he prayed his first salah with us in congregation, in jama'ah. And after that was done, I met the brother a few days later. We were rolling together and doing some BJJ. And he turned to me and said that, you know, Imam, I started praying 5 times a day. And I was thinking to myself, the man doesn't know Al-Fatiha. He doesn't know the surahs of the Quran. He's still learning the words of Salah, but he's already figured out how to worship Allah 5 times a day. Honestly, in that moment, I was overwhelmed and awe, and I was thinking, wow, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib, as the Quran says. Allah selects who He will. He reels those hearts in and brings them in nearby, keeps those people close. And every time I've met that person since then, what does he say to me? You know, oh Imam, I learned a new statement. Look, I can say it now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I learned a new statement. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. I'm learning more. And it's a reflection for those of us that were born Muslim that how much desire do we have to learn our deen? We've taken it for granted. That's what it is. We've taken our religion for granted. While there are people that sit right among us, where the spotlight of the heavens is directed at them because of their zeal, their yearning, their desire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate them. One of my students, who was also someone very dear, near and beloved to me, who also happens to be sitting in this gathering. Today is a Mubarak day. Today is a special day. I was teaching hadith. And in the hadith class, we covered the narration of how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would like to wear white garments. So after the class was over, the student came to me. And he said, Sheikh, I'd love to wear white garments like the Prophet would wear, but unfortunately, I'm not able to wear them because my eyesight is weak. And I fear that if I wear white, I'll drop something on my clothes, and it'll be a source of humiliation for me. So do you think I can gain that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without wearing abyad? I was in tears, literally. Wearing white is not even mandatory. It's not even, you guys understand, it's just an expression of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But for this person, it was so heavy on their heart that I wish I could do this, but unfortunately I'm not able to because of my limitations. There are these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that flame, that fire, that desire, that yearning in their heart. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu was one of those people. That I didn't become Muslim for wealth. I became Muslim because I wanted your companionship. وَلَا أَنْ أَكُونَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. One time Amr bin As was with a group of people. فَأَصَابَهُمْ بَرْضٌ شَدِيدٌ. This is the riwayah of Abu Dawud, famous narration. It got very cold at night. لَمْ يَرَوْ مِثْلَهُ. I mean, the companions, they say, we had never dealt with such cold weather before. What do they call it? The Arctic freeze? Is that what America's been facing lately? A lot of cold weather. So he said, it was really cold. We were in the desert. It was very cold. فَخَرَجَ لِصَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, he came out to lead Fajr Salah. فَقَالَ. Before he leads the Fajr Salah, he turns to the congregation and says, "Ihtalamtu al-Bariha." Last night, I had a situation which led me into a major state of impurity. Not a minor state of impurity, a Major state. In a major state of impurity, the way you recover from that in Islam is by bathing, by taking a shower. وَلَكِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا أَرَيْتُ بَرْدًا مِثْلَ هَذَا. However, even though I'm in a major state of impurity, I'm not taking a bath. It's too cold for that. I take a bath, I'm going to die.
فَغَسَلَ مَغَابِنَهُ.
He washed off. There was water available. He used the water to remove any impurity from his body.
وَتَوَضَّ مَغَابِنَهُ بَيْنَ فَخِذَهِ. وَتَوَضَّ لِلصَّلَاةِ ثُمَّ صَلَّى بِهِمْ.
He did wudu and led them in prayer without doing ghusl. In one riwayah, he said, وَتَوَضَّ
وَتَيَمَّمَ.
Right? That he did wudu and also did tayammum, which is the more common position on how to recover from this sort of a scenario. Both riwayat are there. Imam Abu Dawud narrates them.
So he led them in prayer. When they came back to Medina Munawwara, the companions, they asked the Prophet ﷺ that this is what happened. This is a unique case. He was supposed to bathe. He didn't bathe. Then he led us in prayer as well. The Prophet ﷺ, he called Amr. He said, why did you do that?
فَأَخْبَرَهُ بِذَلِكَ وَبِالَّذِي لَقِيَ مِنَ الْبَرْدِ وَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَالَ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا وَلَوْ اِغْتَسَلْتُ مِتُّ.
He said, God said, do not kill yourselves. God is merciful. And if I had taken a bath, I would have killed myself. I would have died.
فَضَحِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم smiled at his intelligence and his deduction from the Quran, his istinbat and his fiqh.
فَضَحِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ.
When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed this world, Amr bin As was not in Medina Munawwara. He was actually in Oman, sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he received news of the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through the letter of Abu Bakr.
فَأَتَاهُ كِتَابُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ بِوَفَاتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
During the time in the reign of the Khulafa, the successors of the Prophet, after the Prophet had departed, during the time of his successors, he held many top positions. Again, intelligent man, born leader.
Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, walla Umaru Amran Falastin.
He put him responsible of the affairs of Palestine. And then he moved him to Egypt. And when they headed towards Egypt for the conquest, Umar radiallahu anhu then sent
وَبَعَثَ عُمَرُ الزُّبَيْرَ مَدَدًا لَهُ.
He sent Zubayr radiallahu anhu as support for him. He conquered Egypt, and I'll share one interaction between him and one of the leaders in Alexandria. When he arrived in Alexandria with the army, the first person to bring conquest of Islam to Egypt was this man, Amr bin As. He was the one that brought Islam to Egypt. Anyone here from Egypt that is Muslim, you should know that the origins of Islam in that region come from this man who accepted Islam two, three years before the Prophet ﷺ passed away. Umar radiallahu anhu sent him there, he arrived. So when he arrived in Alexandria, there's an interesting interaction that happened.
خرج Amr bin As narrates, خرج جيش من المسلمين أنا أميرهم حتى نزلنا إسكندرية.
That an army was marching towards Alexandria, and I was the Amir, the leader of that army.
فقال عظيم منهم, one of the leaders from the opposition said, أخرجوا إلي رجلا أكلمهم ويكلمني.
That sent to me a person from you, the Muslims, so I can have a conversation with him.
قلت لا يخرج إليه غيري.
Amr bin As said immediately, I will be the only one that talks to this man. I'm going to face him. He's their leader, I will go as a leader.
فخرجت مع الترجماني ومعه الترجمان.
I showed up with an interpreter, he showed up with an interpreter. Two seats were put together for us to face off.
حتى وضع لنا منبراني.
فقال, the Egyptian general said, ما أنتم? What are you guys? Not man antum. Could have said that, but he didn't say man antum. He didn't say who are you. He said,
لغير ذوي العقول.
ما. موصول غير ذوي العقول. He said, ما antum. What are you guys? So to that, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu said,
نحن العرب.
We are the Arab.
من أهل الشوك والقرد ونحن أهل بيت الله كنا أضيق الناس أرضا وشره عيشا نأكل الميتة والدم ويغير بعضنا على بعض كنا بشر عيش عاش به الناس حتى خرج فينا رجل ليس بأعظمنا يومئذ شرفا ولا أكثرنا مالا قال أنا رسول الله إليكم.
That we were people who lived very tight lives, didn't have much going for us. We weren't necessarily the most morally upright people. We were living a tough life. You know, there weren't too many luxuries available to us. And then all of a sudden this man stood up who wasn't the most honorable of us either. Like, he was from a good tribe, but wasn't the most honorable. And neither was he the wealthiest. And he stood up and said, I am the messenger of Allah. What did we do? We turned against him.
كذبناه رددنا عليه حتى خرج إليه قوم من غيرنا قالوا نحن نصدقك ونقاتل من قاتلك.
Until we opposed him until some people from Medina came and they said, why don't you come and live with us? We will support you.
So he moved out over there. فخرج إليهم وخرجنا إليه. We tried to follow him. وقاتلناه. We fought against him. فظهر علينا. He then was victorious over us. And then we fought against him again. And the Arabs were victorious over him. And we kept going back and forward like this until one day we became Muslim.
And then he says, when we became Muslim, we were loyal to him. We are simple people. The Arabs that I have come with, this is a small group. If I were to announce in Arabia of what lies ahead of us in terms of spoils of war, looking at their palaces and everything here, they would leave everything behind and run here like Black Friday. All the Arabs will show up here. He said his words.
فَلَوْ تَعْلَمُ مَا وَرَأِي مِنَ الْعَرَبِ مَا أَنْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنَ الْعَيْشِ لَمْ يَبْقَى أَحَدٌ إِلَّا جَاءَكُمْ.
They'll all show up at your doorstep. So the general, he began to
فَضَحِكَ.
He laughed a little bit. And he said some very kind words, reciprocating the message of Amr bin As. But then at the end, he said one statement which I think has great value. This general, he said,
"In antum akhadtum bi amri nabiyyikum lam yuqatilkum ahadan illa ghalabtumuhu."
As long as you stay loyal to that prophet, no one will ever beat you. As long as you hold on firmly to the teaching of your prophet, no one will overcome you.
Illa ghalabtumuhu, you will overcome them.
وَإِذَا فَعَلْتُمْ مِثْلَ الَّذِي فَعَلْنَا. But if you become like us and abandon your prophets and get all material and worry more about position and station and politics,
فَتَرَكْتُمْ أَمْرَ نَبِيِّكُمْ لَمْ تَكُونُوا أَكْثَرَ عَدَدًا مِنَّا وَلَا أَشَدَّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً.
Then basically from there, it's all just going to come to an end. When a person becomes worldly, Allah takes everything away from them because you are no longer bastions of justice.
Amr bin As radiallahu an, as his health began to deteriorate,
he lived let me just go back a little bit. He managed the affairs of Egypt after conquest throughout the Khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an, and also in the earlier part of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu an. And then he was replaced. And then during the time of Muawiyah radiallahu an, he was appointed by Muawiyah radiallahu an to be back in Egypt, manage affairs there, and that's where he passed away and left this world. When Amr bin As radiallahu anhu was on his deathbed, he said to his companions, that bring all the wealth that I own. So they brought it all, and they weighed it. It was a very large amount. Then he said,
مَنْ يَأْخُذُهُ بِمَا فِيهِ يَا لَيْتَهُ كَانَ بَعْرًا.
I wish someone would take all this wealth away. I wish it was nothing more than dung. Because this wealth, I will be answerable regarding it on the Day of Judgment. I'm going to have to answer about every penny, every dollar.
Ya laytahu kana ba'ran.
I wish it was just dung. I wish I didn't have this money. Amr bin As used to say during his life that I find it amazing that people die, but yet no one is able to describe death. You're right? I mean, you know how when someone's sick and sometimes the illness can prolong a little bit, and when you ask them, describe death, not many people are able to describe it.
فَلَمَّا نَزَلَ بِهِ الْمَوْتُ ذَكَّرَهُ إِبْنُهُ بِقَوْلِهِ.
When he entered into the final stages of life, his son came and said, Baba, you said no one can describe death. Why don't you describe it for us?
يَا بُنَيَّ الْمَوْتُ أَجَلَّ مِنْ أَنْ يُصَفْ.
No, my son, death cannot be described. But if I were to describe it, وَلَكِنِّي سَأَصِفُهُ لَكَ. If I were to describe it, I would say, it is like a heavy mountain has been placed on my neck. وَكَأَنَّ فِي جَوْفِي أَشَّوْكَ. And as if there are thorns in my inside. وَأَجِدُنِي كَأَنَّ نَفَسِي يَخْرُجُ مِنْ إِبْرَةٍ. As if my breath is coming out of the hole of a needle. It's very hard to breathe. My soul is leaving me bit by bit. When he was in those final moments, Amr bin As radiallahu anhu turned to the head of his police. قَالَ لِصَاحِبِ شُرْطَتِهِ أَدْخِلْ وُجُوهَ أَصْحَابِكَ. That go and bring all your police force. So he immediately summoned his police. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا نَظَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu looked towards them. وَقَالَ هَا قَدْ بَلَغْتُ هَذِهِ الْحَالِ رُدُّهَا عَنِّي. He said to the police that you guys are my force, you guys are my protection. Death has come. Remove death from me. Get rid of this death. فَقَالُوا مِثْلُكَ أَيُّهَا الْأَمِيرُ يَقُولُ هَذَا. They said, you're Umar, you say things like this? You're a Sahabi of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. How are we going to stop death from coming to you? Amr bin As radiallahu anhu said, they said, هَذَا أَمْرُ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ. So to that Amr said, قَدْ عَرَفْتُ وَلَكِنْ أَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ تَتَّعِذُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. I know very well you cannot get rid of death, but I want you to learn your lesson. The fact that he said this to the police, the armed forces, is powerful because he's reminding them, be mindful and careful and gentle with people because tomorrow you will die like I am dying today. Justice is in your hands. Don't be harsh with people. Don't accept usury and don't accept bribery. Don't steal from people. Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, when he was on his deathbed, people came to visit him. He turned his face to the wall with his back towards those that were visiting. So his son Abdullah bin Amr said, لِمَا تَبْكِي. Why are you crying, Baba? Face us. It's okay. Lie down. Be comfortable. He said, I'm crying because I lived three phases in my life. This is the riwayah of Sahih Muslim. I lived three phases. The first phase was where I was the greatest enemy of the Prophet. I fought against him in every battle. Had I died in that phase, I would have landed straight in the fire of hell. Then the second phase of my life, I became Muslim and I was a companion of the Prophet. We lived with him, we ate with him, we walked with him, we marched with him. He was happy with us, we were happy with him. If I had died in that phase, I was hopeful to be in paradise. But now we became leaders. All of these people will hold us accountable on the Day of Judgment. All this wealth that I have acquired, I am responsible. And I don't know now, where will I end up? Will I be taken to the fire of hell? Or will I find myself in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He then said that when I die, make sure there isn't some procession following me. I don't want people crying behind me and shouting behind me. Neither, it was some Egyptian custom that they would carry a fire behind the body. So I don't want any fire with me. Just walk behind me and leave the area in front of my grave empty so the malaika can walk there. And then when you lower me into the grave, slowly drop the soil on me. Sunnu alayhi turaba sannan. And do not place any mausoleum on my grave. Don't make some big structure out of it. Keep it simple. And once my grave is sealed off, don't leave right away. Hang around for a little bit. Hatta astanisa bikum. So I can find comfort in this new place of mine while knowing that you are near me as well. This is the story of the great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala. His story is a lesson of how to make up for lost time. How to hustle, how to push yourself.
doing great things, while always being mindful of the past. Never forget where you came from, what your yesterday was. Keep your eyes on that, but thank Allah for today and keep working for a better tomorrow. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to learn from their lessons and allow us to follow their footsteps. May He resurrect us in their companionship and with them on the Day of Judgment. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just one quick announcement. Next week, we will not have class. Inshallah, if Allah wills, Thursday morning, I travel for Umrah. So I will return back in a week, inshallah. So next Thursday, we will not have class. Next Tuesday, we will not have class. We will continue with class the Tuesday after, inshallah. I request all of your du'as. May Allah Azza wa Jalla allow us all to go to the haram together, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.